What's going on, guys? It's Landon here, and you're listening to the Hot Pelicans Takes podcast, where you're hearing about the Pelicans, you're getting it from the fans' perspective. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't gone and given me a 5-star rating or told me how you like the podcast, given us a comment or something like that, then I don't know what you're doing, man. Support the podcast, support the Pelicans, and support local guys that know what they're talking about, talk about the Pelicans. And to do that, go and give me a 5-star rating. Go and tell me what you like and what you don't like about the podcast. I'm open to criticism. And let me know on Twitter, at Hot Pelicans, what you think about this episode and past episodes. And if you have any ideas about topics or things that you want to hear about, reach out on Twitter. Go give me a 5-star rating. Do it. Chucky B. Hey guys, it's your friendly neighborhood Pelicans fan, and I am back after a several month long hiatus. The last time we spoke, I ranted about the Pelicans and how they were handling the Zion injury situation, and we experienced a similar thing in the bubble, so nothing has really changed, but we have a lot to talk about. A lot of turnover on this Pelicans team. And it seems like we have a clear direction for where the team is going to go for the next few years. We'll talk about if I necessarily agree with that direction or not, but a lot to get to today. So thanks for stopping by. If you could, we're available on pretty much every platform you can get your podcast from. So if you could give me a 5-star rating, a comment, and interact with me on Twitter, that would be great. But let's get right into this stuff. And what has happened this offseason? So Drew Holiday is no longer a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, being traded to the Milwaukee Bucks in a pretty surprising move. I did think that the Pelicans were going to keep Drew Holiday around with the signing of Stan Van Gundy. It kind of seemed inevitable that most of the vets were going to stick around, and I really thought that David Griffin was going to take more of a run it back mentality going into this season, just kind of bring back all of the veterans, keep Drew Holiday, and see what we could do with a more healthy squad going into next year. But that is not the case, and it seems like we're building a little more towards the future, accumulating some assets, doing things of that nature. So an interesting time to move Drew Holiday. And pretty quiet up until the very end. A lot different, if you guys remember, than the Anthony Davis situation, right? I mean, rumors nonstop. People kind of negotiating through the media and things like that. But we didn't really experience that with the Drew Holiday trade. Some reports came out, had a lot of teams interested, and things going out here and there, but, you know, nothing to the extent of what we experienced with the Anthony Davis debacle a few years ago. And now Drew Holiday is going to be on a contender in Milwaukee playing with Giannis. So happy to see him take his career to another team that, you know, that's competing for a championship right now. The Pelicans, we're not going to be competing for a championship next year. And so I am happy to see Drew go and play for a team who's really going to be contending right now. And he deserves to win a championship. So I wish him all the best. But it is a little bit depressing as a Pelicans fan, as somebody who's watched Drew since he's been here. Somebody who was one of my favorite basketball players, especially one of my favorite Pelicans, somebody who meant so much to not just the Pelicans fan base, but to the city. It's really hard to see him go. But we did get back quite a haul for Drew Holiday. including several first-round picks, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, as well as getting back Steven Adams from the Oklahoma City Thunder, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But definitely a trade that that makes it seem like we're building more towards the future. We did trade away George Hill again. We rerouted him to another team, but we're hanging on to Eric Bledsoe. I think that's an interesting move. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But a lot of first-round picks, some pick swaps happening later on. So just continuing to build that treasure chest of assets for potentially a big trade down the road. So we'll see how this shakes out and what we're able to turn all of these assets into. But Drew Holiday, no longer a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. So the Thunder got George Hill, Darius Miller, also Zylan Cheatham, a two-way guy for the Pelicans, and they got some picks as well. But that's pretty much the trade. We rerouted another pick to the Denver Nuggets. That was going to be RJ Hampton. That was our 24th pick, and we sent him to Denver. But that's pretty much the trade, and I think that we got really good value for Drew Holiday. And like I said, we'll see what happens with those assets and what we're able to turn that into. But what does this mean for the team? And what does the team look like without Drew Holiday? Well, I think it just puts all the more pressure on Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson to really take the keys of this team. Drew Holiday was going to have a more limited role the longer he was here as we built more around those young players. And he's been inconsistent his entire time here, had injury problems the first few years. Then he had the situation with his wife. And he's somebody who always gives those flashes of being a star player, but just hasn't really been able to put it together, especially on a night-to-night basis. And so I'm not necessarily, from a basketball standpoint, I'm not necessarily sad to see him go. I had been calling for him to be traded for a little while now, and I thought that we could get a good package back for him, and it seems like we were able to do that. But as a person is where I'm more upset with him leaving. But what does the team look like? It means more Brandon Ingram, more Zion Williamson. You have to put the ball in their hands, and I think that this just brings that closer to happening with Drew Holiday not being there. They're going to have to take the keys, especially on offense, and really just lead this team. Drew Holiday was a playmaker, but he didn't want to be on ball, so he wasn't a true point guard for us anyway. And we'll see what happens with Lonzo Ball as well. That's a completely different discussion. But I think that's what the team looks like. I think you build around Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. You know that those are your pillars. You know that those are the guys that are going to bring you to a title whenever that's able to happen, 4 to 5 years from now when we're contending for a championship. And you just build around those guys. You find pieces that fit. Maybe add another piece or two to the young core, people that can build and develop next to Zion and Brandon Ingram. And that's what we're doing moving forward. Also coming over in the trade is Steven Adams, a big man that I've liked and enjoyed watching for a long time with OKC. He's 27 years old. Last season, he averaged 10.9 points, 2.3 assists, and 9.3 boards per game, and has averaged up to 14 points in his career. So just somebody that's going to protect the rim. He's going to get defensive and offensive rebounds, as well as a terrific screen setter. And somebody that I think he's just going to do everything that Derek Favors was not able to do last year. I was excited about the Derek Favors signing, and it really just didn't come to fruition like we thought it would. He had injury problems. Then he had, obviously, the tragic passing of his mother that took him out for games as well. And when he was in there, he just looked like he wasn't into it. He just looked a step slow. The defense that we had been promised with him coming in and the way that Jazz fans had hyped him up on the defensive end, it just never really came. He just always looked a step slow. And so we really needed to do something else with that starting center spot. And I think Steven Adams plugs that hole, especially if we're able to keep him in New Orleans. He only has one more year left on his deal. So we're going to have to negotiate a contract going forward after this coming season. But I think that if we have some success this year, I could see the Pelicans re-signing him and them kind of figuring that out. But he's going to plug that hole at center. And I don't know how the fit will be with him and Zion offensively, but defensively, I think that it's a big upgrade, in my opinion. How does he fit with Brandon Ingram and Zion? We're going to have to see. I think it depends on who's going to start around those guys, but the spacing is not going to be great. Steven Adams, obviously, not a shooter. Zion Williamson is not going to be a reliable shooter. Brandon Ingram improved last year. He might be the most reliable shooter in the starting lineup. It depends on how much stock you put in Lonzo Ball's improvement with his shooting last year. So we'll see what happens there. But I don't necessarily love the fit on offense, but it's going to depend on who they're able to put around him. We'll see what else they do in free agency. But I think that having J.J. Redick starting would make some sense. If you had Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick with Ingram, Zion, and Steven Adams, I think you need that shooting in the starting lineup. And I think that means that Bledsoe is going to be moving to the bench. I don't know how he'll feel about that role, but right now that's what I'm projecting, that he's going to be coming off the bench and not having a backcourt of Lonzo and Bledsoe playing together all the time. But we'll see what happens there. I think he would be a great sixth man, somebody who'd come in, play defense, and run the offense. But I got a question here from GoTinks HBL, who asked, do you see the Pelicans getting a lot of second chance points this year with the addition of Steven Adams? And I absolutely think so. Him and Zion are going to destroy people on the offensive glass. Zion, just with his motor, the way that he can get up and down off of misses and grab his own boards, and just that tenacious way that he gets on the glass, I think will bode well for this team, considering we've struggled on the offensive glass in the past few years. And Steven Adams, when you look at the advanced numbers, he has a 12.8 offensive rebounding percentage, which is good for fourth in the NBA. So he's going to be grabbing those, and that's going to create more chances for us on offense. So looking forward to seeing that. I think him and Zion are really going to grab those offensive boards, and that's something that we've been needing for a long time. Especially deep rebounding in general has been a problem with this team for quite some time, even in the Anthony Davis days, because the people who would come in off the bench wouldn't be able to keep the rebounding going, and so we'd see problems there. But Steven Adams, I'm very excited for this signing. I think that it's going to anchor that defense a little more. Stan Van Gundy, you know, he wants to build a wall, and I think Steven Adams is the perfect guy to anchor that defense. So hopefully we'll see some pretty immediate improvement next year in terms of the defense. And that's what we need to see. This team has never had problems scoring the ball. We've had hot and cold streaks, obviously, like every team does, but we've never had problems scoring the ball. It's always been on defense. We've only had one time in the past, 7 years, really. The entire time that Anthony Davis was there, we were in the top 10 one time as a defense. And that's just not going to cut it in the NBA. You got to do it on both ends. So I think Steven Adams is going to take us further in that direction, and certainly the direction that Stan Van Gundy wants to see his teams going in on the defensive end because he's a defensive-minded kind of coach. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about Eric Bledsoe. How surprising is it that we're hanging on to him? What does his fit look like with the team? And could he potentially play next to Lonzo Ball? We'll talk about that in just a moment, so stick around. All right, welcome back to the Hot Pelicans Takes podcast, and now we're talking about Eric Bledsoe. This is a surprising move. I could have sworn that Eric Bledsoe was going to be flipped after receiving him in that trade where we sent Drew Holiday to the Bucks in that multi-team trade. I thought that Eric Bledsoe was going to be on his way to a contender, and all indications are pointing to him being here. Will Guillory, who covers the team for The Athletic, has already said that Eric Bledsoe is sticking around with the Pelicans. So what does that mean for us? I see his role as being that first guard off the bench, somebody who comes in, can give you a scoring punch, can run the offense well enough to handle that with the bench unit, and somebody who can provide some leadership. You know, I don't know how much of a leader he is with young teams and things of that nature. He's never really had to deal with that kind of thing. So we'll see what happens there. The Pelicans have to see something with his role, or maybe they are just letting him stick around until the trade deadline. We'll see what happens. But it seems like they see a role for him on this team. And that role would have to be off the bench for me. I think you still have to, if they're going to invest in Lonzo Ball like they should, they have to have him starting at the point guard and let him run the offense for better or for worse, and see if he's going to be our long-term answer at the point guard. I think you need to start J.J. Redick next to Lonzo to have more shooting in the starting lineup. But let's take a look at Bledsoe. So last year, he averaged 14.9 points, 5.4 assists, and 4.6 rebounds on basically the best team in the NBA in terms of record with the Milwaukee Bucks. He shot 47% from the field and 34% from three. I'm not really too convinced with his three-point shooting, and that's why I'm skeptical to put him in that starting lineup next to Lonzo. I don't know how serious his three-point shooting is, and he's somebody that's going to want to shoot more off of the pull-up and creating shots for himself, which involves dribbling and having higher usage and having the ball in his hands, which I don't necessarily think that we should be doing. And he's not necessarily a catch-and-shoot guy, so he's not going to be out there sitting in the corner waiting for the ball, you know. So I think that the way that his game is would work better coming off the bench. So we'll see what happens there. But I think it's a surprising move. I could have sworn that both him and George Hill were going to be on other teams before the start of the season. If anybody stayed on the Pelicans, I thought it would be George Hill as coming in and filling that backup point guard spot. But it looks like Eric Bledsoe is going to do that for us. However, if he's coming in as your backup point guard, that's got to be arguably one of the best backup point guards in the league, if not the best, in terms of skill. So we'll see how he fits in and what his role is going forward. But a questionable move, I think, to keep him around. But it's obvious the Pelicans have a vision for him and his role on the team, so I'm not going to question it. And we'll see what happens with Eric Bledsoe and how he fits in with the Pelicans. So that's pretty much everything that's happened so far this offseason. A few hours ago, it was announced, too, that the Pelicans had signed Willie Hernan Gomez, who I haven't watched too much, but who played for Charlotte and is now coming in with the Pelicans. Doesn't have numbers that really jump out at you, but I think he's going to serve his role well as a backup big coming off the bench. The big depth is something that was pretty lackluster last year. You really just had Favors and Hayes at the center spot, and then Zion and those small ball lineups playing center, and that was it. And Hayes was clearly not ready to play big minutes, as you saw with the minutes he did get this season. I mean, he just has no defensive awareness is just kind of lost at times, doesn't really know where he's supposed to be on the court. And you can just tell that he's a rookie. He played like a rookie this past year. His defense is not there. If you want to develop him into a rim protector, he's going to need a lot more work in that regard. He's a lob threat. You know, he can do some nice things, but he's certainly not ready to play big minutes. And I'm glad that we filled in those holes in our big rotation. But let's talk about this current roster and what other holes we have. It seems like we've secured our big man rotation. So the things that I'm worried about right now is who's going to be running your offense in the half court, and wing depth is a big thing. So let's talk about running the offense in the half court. So who is going to be running that half court offense? I think that we should just be putting the ball in Brandon Ingram's hands as much as possible. He's going to be the best possible player that he can be when the ball is in his hands, when he is the one creating shots for himself and creating shots for others. And I think that he has enough point guard ability. You saw it when he was playing in Los Angeles. I think he has enough of that playmaking ability to be able to run the offense. And we don't need necessarily a more pure point guard to do that. And that would help out Lonzo Ball and help him better shape out his role on the team by being that spot up guy, by being that secondary ball handler, by cutting and getting better at driving to the rim and finishing and all of those things. I think that that would help Lonzo Ball fit in more, because him being a ball dominant half court pick and roll type of point guard just doesn't look like his trajectory. And if anybody's counting on him to do that, I think that your vision for him is flawed. He's not going to be that half court point guard. He's not going to be that pound it pick and roll, you know, kind of guy. That's just not his game. He's not a half court guy. He's more of a grab the board and run something in transition kind of point guard. And he's done that his entire career, and he can do it well. He's got the vision to look up the court and find that guy who's going to get an easy bucket. He's just not going to run things in the half court. When things start to slow down, when you get to these end of game situations, these playoff game situations, you have to be able to run things in the half court and create shots. And Lonzo Ball is not that kind of player. So we either get another point guard who can do those things, or we give Brandon Ingram the keys and let him handle it. But I think that the more Brandon Ingram and Zion have the balls in their hands, the better it's going to bode for us. And Zion needs to be able to develop that, to develop, you know, being able to make plays and his ball handling and things. His ball handling was very sloppy last year, and it led to some turnovers. So he needs to tighten that up and get more opportunities to do that. So that's what I think. I thought that Lonzo Ball was going to end up getting traded during this offseason, and it hasn't happened yet. But I just don't see Lonzo Ball's future with this team. I don't think he sees himself as a 3-and-D kind of wing player, somebody who's just going to sit in the corner. I think that he sees himself as a point guard, and if he wants to do that, you can go do that with another team. But I don't see the future for Lonzo. I think you need to put the ball in Brandon Ingram's hands and let him be the de facto point guard playmaker in the half court. Which brings me to the lack of wing depth. It's really simple, guys. We just need a 3-and-D player. We need a guy who's going to come in, who plays like the 3 and 4 position, who can run in those small ball lineups, who can make a 3-point shot and can guard on the perimeter. That's the kind of player we need. And there's people in free agency who can do the trick. A lot of people were talking about like a Jay Crowder type or somebody like that. We don't need somebody exceptional. We don't need a world beater. We just need somebody who can come in, who can make a 3 and guard on the perimeter and plays that 3-4 position. That's really what we need. Because I see this team being more of a switchable kind of team, more of a team defense than a one-on-one defense with our length and our size now with Steven Adams, and just kind of funnel people into the rim. And we need another 3-and-D kind of 3-4 who can do those kinds of things. and expand the different lineup combinations that we can have. So I think that's the kind of player that we need to be looking for. We had a question, too, about the free agency and the roster, how it's looking right now. This is from Metatron_rules on Twitter. And he asks, are the Pelicans going to move Josh Hart or Etuan Moore? To answer your question, Josh Hart is here to stay. I could see him. I don't know if they're going to extend him this offseason, but I think that he's a long-term piece. He's a guy that just – he does so much for us off the bench. He rebounds exceptionally well for a guard. He plays defense. His ability to run and transition and attack the basket and the way that he can finish over bigger guys is just unparalleled. That's an elite skill for him, is finishing, especially over people who – are bigger than him, and he can hit that three-point shot. I think Josh Hart is a long-term piece. I don't think he's going anywhere. Etuan Moore just signed like a $2 million deal with the Phoenix Suns, so that answers your question there. That happened after you had asked that question, but I just saw a few hours ago that he signed with the Phoenix Suns, so good luck to him. Phoenix Suns are certainly going to be an exciting team, adding Chris Paul as well. To pair with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. They're going to be a team to beat this year. And the West, it just seems like they keep getting better and better. And hopefully the Pelicans can catch up. Speaking of the roster, I just want to talk briefly about the direction that it seems like the Pelicans are going in. I got into a disagreement with Fish from the Bird Rights, because I was saying basically that I want the team to be competitive every year. Even if we're not competing for a championship, you just don't see teams that tank for several years and are just bottom feeders for 3 to 5 years and then suddenly up and become championship contenders. It just doesn't happen. Most teams are going to be like the Denver Nuggets of the world, who compete year in and year out, then they start to make the playoffs, become relevant, and then they rise over several years to that championship contender status. They develop their own guys, they put people around those guys that fit, and they're competitive every year. They're not trying to tank, they're not mortgaging their long-term success with short-term kind of moves, but they're also trying to put a competitive team on the court every season. And last year, Pelicans had a ton of holes in the roster. I mean, we saw that. People got hurt. Derek Favors missed time. Zion missed time. And you saw how we suffered. I mean, we lost 13 games in a row. So I just want to know, as a Pelicans fan, as somebody who pays and goes to the games, and I'm sure season ticket holders and, you know, people that invest their money into this team feel the same way. We just want to know that the Pelicans are always trying to be competitive, because we don't want to see the Anthony Davis situation happen again. And if we're losing throughout the entirety of Zion's rookie contract, then what are you trying to tell your fan base that you're building towards? You've talked so much about building a sustainable winner, building sustainable success, but you're not plugging holes on the roster. You're not showing your fan base that you're trying to win games, and you're going to lose people. You're going to lose people. We don't have the luxury of losing for, 8 years straight and keeping those fans around. I mean, let's face it, we're not Los Angeles. We're not New York. People aren't diehards around here. They're just not. Not everybody is like me or like a lot of the Pelicans fans I talk to on Twitter. We have a lot of casual, kind of fair weather fans. And if the Pelicans aren't relevant, if they're not trying to be competitive, then people are just going to tune them out and just go watch the next best attraction in the New Orleans area, in Louisiana sports, you know. The Pelicans are fighting for their relevancy in the state. There's plenty of other things that people can go watch. People can go watch the Saints. People can go watch LSU football. There's plenty of other things going on. The Pelicans have to every year be putting out a quality product if they want to be relevant, if they want to get the money of the people who live out here. And that's just how I feel about it. So we can accumulate those assets, certainly. We can build that war chest for future years when we can make big trades and get a superstar in New Orleans. But until that point, we need to be signing people and putting these young players in the best position to win games. And you need to show them that we're trying to be competitive every year, because they're not going to want to stick around if we're not trying to do that to the best of our ability. Like I said, we don't want to see another Anthony Davis situation with Zion. And we have to be competitive in order to keep him here, keep him happy. So I challenge all Pelicans fans to not just be complacent. As much as I put my trust in David Griffin and Trajan Langdon and the people who are running the team, don't get me wrong, I think that they're much better they're much better equipped than, say, Adel Demps to run this team. I think they have a vision. I trust all of those things. However, if that vision is, you know, being mediocre for several years until they feel like we're ready to compete, that's just not going to keep fans engaged. That's not going to keep Zion in New Orleans, in my opinion. So, a lot that's gone on this offseason. This team has looked a lot different, guys. I'm sure you've seen the tweet that's been going around that Zion is our longest tenured Pelicans player now. That's just insane to me. It really is. This team is going to be so much different without somebody like Jrue Holiday. We really kind of anointed him as the face of the franchise and, you know, all this talk about him being MVP and everything, and now look where we are, you know. I wish him all the best, and I'm sure all Pelicans fans do. I would love to see his jersey number be retired with the Pelicans. He's just somebody that had just had such a great impact on the city, and somebody who we love to watch. We're always going to remember that Portland Trailblazers series where he just locked up Damian Lillard and we swept the Portland Trailblazers. That's something we're always going to remember about Jrue, him dropping 40-point games in the playoffs. He's going to be missed, for sure. He's going to be missed. But really, that's going to do it for this edition of the Hot Pelicans Takes podcast. There's a lot that's gone on this offseason. There's going to be a lot more to come. David Griffin has assured us that there's plenty of free agents that are on the market that he's still looking at. Obviously, that trade that sent Jrue Holiday to the Milwaukee Bucks is really starting to come together now and starting to be solidified. So we're getting all of that information out now. But hopefully I can get on here more and talk about the things that are going on. And if there's more developments this offseason, certainly I'll get on here and make another episode. But I appreciate you guys for stopping by. I know this one was short, but I'll be back with you guys very soon, and please be sure to interact with me on Twitter and let me know what you think about the podcast. If you have questions, let me know, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Hot Pelicans Takes podcast. So thanks for stopping in, and have a good rest of your weekend, Pelicans fans.